If you would, open your Bibles. We do not go to the book of Ephesians today. It is my habit, when we celebrate communion, to depart from our normal book that we are examining, and to go to another portion of Scripture to bring out the various significance of what we're about to do in terms of celebrating the Lord's death. What is Jesus doing right now?
Probably making Batman's house.
What is Jesus doing right now?
Probably hanging out on the Sabbath.
The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he sat down at the right hand of God, is not inactive. He is fervently involved in a ministry for you. And when we celebrate communion, we are celebrating the fact that at this very moment, always unceasingly, never ending until he comes for his own, Jesus Christ is before the Father praying on our behalf, for you individually, for us corporately. It says in the book of Hebrews, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is what Jesus Christ is doing right now. That is why in communion, when we celebrate with these symbols, what we're celebrating, that Jesus Christ right now, in the circumstances of your life, in all the circumstances, in every one, he is before the Father interceding, praying, requesting, beseeching on your behalf that the Father will, for his children, keep them safe and answer those prayers that you are bringing before his throne. And I'd like to go to chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. And I want to talk about, when we celebrate communion this morning, we're celebrating the fact of Jesus as our great high priest in the new covenant. You've learned from the book of Ephesians and from other places that, guess what? There's a priesthood of, and our great high priest right now is interceding, and he's Jesus. And I want to talk about the quality and characteristics of Jesus Christ as your intercessor. What is he like when he intercedes for you? What are the characteristics of that intercessory ministry when you come before the throne and he's interceding? What are the quality and characteristics? Well, we learned through the book of Hebrews long ago when we studied this, that we have a great high priest, and that he has taken up that office of intercession. And it tells us he sympathizes in 4:15 with our weaknesses. That's the first thing we celebrate about the fact of our great high priest. Listen to me. He intercedes for our weaknesses. This is the quality of the high priest we have. Do you feel weak this morning? Are there struggles? He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Therefore, it said in verse 16 of chapter 4 that we can draw near with boldness, with confidence. And when you come near, you come to, because what we celebrate this morning, you can come with confidence. Where do you come? To a throne of grace. But let's take a look in chapter 5 at the quality of our great high priest. The writer here, Paul, makes two points 2 points right here in terms of the quality of our high priest. He makes in verse 5 that Christ is the one who alone has proper authorization to approach God. Now listen to me, we're all a high priesthood of all believers, but the Father has given the great privilege of approaching before His throne and to have the proper authorization is Jesus Christ. And then I want to look especially at verses 7 through 10 to look at the fact of His quality before you. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become a high priest, but He who said to Him, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." Now, this psalm is a great psalm in the Old Testament that declared David would have a son. And not only would that son be king, but that he would be the great high priest who would replace the Old Testament priests and would make you a kingdom of priests with him as the great high priest. You are forever a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But please note verses 7 through 10 to show you the quality of the kind of high priest that you come before. In the days of his flesh, verse 7, Jesus, he offered up both prayer and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Do you know what this is referring to? This is talking about Jesus, that Jesus was in a condition where he had to offer up prayer and supplication with loud crying and tears. What's he talking about? Well, hold your finger there and go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 22, where the writer is talking about the Garden of Gethsemane experience. Now listen to me. What makes Jesus qualified for being your intercessor is what he experienced in the days of his flesh. In other words, when Jesus Christ came, God deliberately put him through things so that he would be able to sympathize with your circumstances and weakness. This is what we're celebrating this morning, that when you come before the Lord Jesus, this is the ground of His priesthood, that you are guaranteed sympathy in His intercession for you. Look what this says in Luke 22:39. He is going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He came out and proceeded, as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives. Now that shows you that Jesus didn't just go once to the Mount of Olives when he was betrayed. He had been there many, many, many times. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived, verse 40, at the place, he says to his disciples, "Pray that you do not enter into," and your Bible will say, "temptation." That's the wrong. That's not the correct way to translate this. Pray that you do not enter into testing. Now, we saw this in Bible study, did we not, this morning? The soils on the ground where Jesus said someone receives the Word of God with joy and then they're tested. Well, this was part of Jesus going through these tests so he could become your merciful and faithful high priest. It says here, "Pray that you not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. 20, 25 feet. And he knelt down and began to pray. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. If we go to Matthew, it is saying at this time in Matthew that he was under such great stress that he broke out into a sweat and great drops of perspiration were dropping to the ground. Because it's not blood. That's another thing in the Gospels where it says great drops of sweat like blood. It meant, have you ever seen somebody hemorrhaging as it hits the ground? Well, it means he broke out into a profuse, deep stress, so great that the stress caused him to actually perspire profusely from knowing what he was facing, that sin would be placed upon him. And he said in Matthew, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Watch with me. Three times this happened. Three times. And it says back in Luke, verse 43 of chapter 22, verse 43, the stress was so great on the Son that an angel had to come and strengthen him. What are we talking about this morning in terms of Jesus' intercession? He understands the human condition. All of these things that he experienced was so that he could be merciful to you. It is saying here that an angel from heaven had to strengthen him. What do you mean, Pastor Dave? Was Jesus weak? Yes. I didn't say he sinned. But listen to me. Are you weak? Do you struggle? You're guaranteed the ground of sympathy with the Son as your intercessor, because in his weakness, facing the cross, an angel came and had to impart strength to him. Let us not be too hard on each other. For in weakness, your Savior had to have an angel come to strengthen him. Look what it says next. And being in agony, has some circumstance put you in agony? Jesus understands. Not only did he break out into great sweat because of this circumstance, the stress, the difficulty, but it says here, being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood. Now, that is not saying, like I told you, that Jesus sweated blood. It's saying that the sweat was so profuse, it was like somebody cut a wound open and it was just dripping from him. What would you think would be the condition of a person experiencing that? Listen to me, Jesus never sinned, but he was fully human. Why did God make our great intercessor fully human, that he would be in agony and that he would break out into great sweat over what he was facing? Listen to me, so he could sympathize with you. Jesus went through this whole experience of humanity so that when you experience these things, and you come and say, dear Jesus, I need your help. He doesn't sit there and say, you idiot. What's the matter with you? You better suck it up. You know what he says? My son, my daughter, I remember the garden. I remember the agony I was in. I remember the stress so that I actually broke out into great sweats facing the cross. What that is saying is Jesus, when we celebrate communion this morning, is the one who understands and sympathizes because everything he experienced in all of the difficulties of life apart from sin. This is how wondrous Jesus is as our high priest. Great drops falling down upon the ground. Picture that. I tell you, I know some fundamentalists, if this would have been someone other than Jesus, they would have said to this person, you better stop that. Aren't you trusting God? Well, that's not what Jesus would say. Jesus would understand all of these things because he experienced it. When you come to him, you're guaranteed his sympathy because of this experience. And then it says, all of this agony, when he comes back to draw encouragement from the disciples, guess what? They're all asleep. Have you ever been alone, needing at least a human voice to hear your concern? We're human social creatures. Imagine this, facing this, all that we've talked about right now, and Jesus is going back to find at least in his 12 disciples, were 11, the 12th ones betraying him, some encouragement from the 11. And guess what? None. You know what that says?
Too much, baby.
It says that when you come to Jesus and you say, Father, I feel so alone, he knows fully that aloneness and knows how to comfort and encourage. And he's interceding before the Father, not in the sense of some harsh, unloving type. Have you met those people? I meet them all the time. He's encouraging, interceding, and he's fully sympathetic to the difficulties that we face. That's the wondrous nature of our high priest, who right now is interceding for you before the Father. I'd ask the ushers, if they would, to pass out the elements this morning. What do we do as Christians when we have a difficulty or we sin? We run, don't we? Guess what this is telling us? Don't run from our high priest. Run to him. Amen. Come boldly. Shall we take that little piece of bread and eat, remembering his body? Why the cross? Because Jesus took, shed his blood in our place. Shall we drink, remembering his shed blood?